welcome to Try Not to Blink, the podcast that keeps it rocking with all of the ups, downs, ins, outs, news, tips, and tricks of those who live the optometry lifestyle and wear those cool little hats that people wear when they live in Costa Rica. My name is Dr. James Diem. I am super thankful for Valley Contacts, who, of course, is the maker of the stellar gas permeable contact lens that you all know and love as the custom stable scleral lens. We are joined today by none other than Dr. Roya Habibi. What is up, Roya? I see your Costa Rican hat in the background. That's why I said your neat little Costa Rica. You see that? You got your Costa Rica hat back
there. Yeah, exactly. You mean you always got to protect yourself from the sun.
That is true.
The ultimate enemy.
You've been hating on the sun lately. You're always talking about it.
Now that I'm here, you know, sunny every day, basically.
Enemy?
Well, it's not the ultimate enemy, but it's the ultimate damager.
It'll fry yourself. It'll fry your ass, right?
It's true. You got to be careful. And I just don't think I gave it enough.
I mean, respect.
To be honest, I just moved here from Seattle, where
there wasn't any sun there.
Hours of sun is a lot shorter than here, even though our hours of sunlight is only like 12 a day. But it's so much brighter. We got to respect it.
You got to respect it. I like that. Put some respect on its name.
Agreed. I mean, do we have something exciting to talk about?
I mean, do we have something to say and talk about? Well, we have a really great guest today, that I know. And I know that we're also going to have some good conversation about our new opto prep, try not to stress.
I'm going to wait because I think section. That we should have our guest talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a good one to have with our guest.
Most definitely. September, I think, is a good time of the year in this neck of the woods because we're still warm, but the nights are getting cooler and we are starting to get that fresh vibe of pumpkin spice everything. And I could just taste it already. It's coming. So we're getting ready for that here and gearing up for Academy of Optometry's meeting, which is in San Diego this year. So Roya and I will be at the American Academy of Optometry's meeting in San Diego, which is in October. So just a month away. So if you're thinking about joining American Academy of Optometry's meeting, look for us. We will be floating around, wanting to catch up with you, take a picture, do a selfie, maybe do a quick little video. And drop by and give us some ideas about the podcast, things we could talk about and discuss.
Okay. Anybody who loves scleral lenses, we love to like the nth degree, right? Like, so we're starting a little series right now on the greatest and brightest and latest and greatest.
The best and brightest.
The latest and greatest. The latest and greatest to our profession at the moment. And the first, maybe it's not the first launched episode, but the first recorded episode of this series is none other than Dr. Claus Ito. Not to be confused with Ido, although it would be better than eye doctor. Not my joke his, but it's perfect. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
And we have to say, even though he is not a self-proclaimed podcaster, his microphone is pretty impressive.
He's ready to do it.
He showed up with one hell of a microphone. I believe it's a Rode. Is that a Rode?
No, it's a Samson G-Track Pro.
All right.
Well, honestly,
it's not
come,
a road, but it's okay. It's
people next come investment. To our show and they're like, oh god, they're like intimidated. They're like, ooh, that big microphone, and we're like, oh no worries. It's just like we're trying to like sound good, and now we're like, where'd you get that microphone, dude?
Yeah, we have microphone envy.
Yeah, my mom was like, hey, get what you need for residency interviews. And then I bought this microphone and I showed her and she was like, okay, that's overkill. I was like, I just want that crispy sound.
It's interesting. It does. It does make a real big difference, I think, especially, you know, with any sort of communication you're doing online. Having good audio really does matter. Our microphones are just distracting, though. It's funny. Every time I'm on a call and I'm like, well, I'm going to use my microphone and my headphones, like, because it sounds better. Everybody's like, oh, look at that microphone. Oh, look at this guy. Oh, he's... What is this, a radio show? You know, everybody hates on it. But anyway, we have mad respect for that microphone. So good job.
Got a solid setup. Okay, you just mentioned something that I want to loop back to. But before I even get into anything, I want to properly introduce you. Everyone knows you just graduated from some sort of residency, but let's go back to the start. So you started in undergrad studying biology at Occidental College, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Side note, played rugby there.
Yep.
Awesome.
That was an interesting experience. You'd think it, honestly, playing tackle football was a lot more painful than rugby, if I'm being honest.
Rugby is a proper sport.
Yeah, and it's just, it felt better and not wearing any pads or anything. It was real fun.
People don't hit you quite as hard?
It's that, and also, like, you just... tackle differently. Well, actually, you don't hit people as hard. Like, I'm not that big of a guy, and there's plenty of big guys on the field. So if someone's coming at me, I just let them run me over. I don't try to put any force into it. You just grab their legs, make sure they can't run, and it works out.
It sounds like my nightmare. I definitely would not do this.
As long as you're good at grabbing onto people, you're fine.
maybe I could do this, actually. But I would not like
to
be.
You could do it,
Raya. I don't know if I'd like to be like curving the legs in a bull run.
Said AOA or optometry's meet or academy. We'll have this. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll do the optometry rugby club.
That's what I'm thinking.
You guys should do it. I'll cheer and it'll be fun. I'll watch the slaughter. Okay. Post Occidental, you went to MCPHS.
Correct.
Studying optometry, of course. Graduated. Mm-hmm. In 2021, so how was that, graduating during all the craziness? Last year, graduation, all that.
We were all just kind of scattered in the wind, so they had a separate graduation later than what we were expecting, and I don't know what the attendance was like, but I didn't go to it. I was like, I'm not gonna, I think I was already in Virginia at the time, and okay. I just didn't go. But we did our own graduation.
What were your like rotations like? What was the last year in 2020 like?
So it all started out with, you know, March 17th as boards coming along, and we're hearing about this corona thing. No one's really sure what. We're just focused on part one at the time. And less than 12 hours before our part one exam, the first day, they cancel it. And so everyone's like, I was one of those.
Oh my God. You were the hanging Chad of optometry boards. Like, oh, is it? Are they going to take it? No, they're not going to take it. My God. We had interns, I think, I think interns talking about your year. My God. What a crazy thing.
I had time to forget what I studied and then learn it again.
Disrespectful. I mean, if they cancel it, it should be a cancel. It's like a game, you know, like a sports game. Should've. It's like, this isn't getting a made up. We had our chance. It's over.
Supposed to take it in March. Didn't take it until August. Oh. So that was rough.
That's tough. Oh,
wait, did you still have to go in somewhere?
Yeah, I was in Florida. Florida was a hotspot at the time, and that was my first rotation. I was like, oh gosh, like this thing is getting hot, and that's where I'm going. But it's I took it over there in Gainesville, Florida. At a testing center, which was just reduced capacity, but I was still able to take it. And you just had to wear a mask, I think. Not too bad.
Well, there in Florida, people weren't wearing it then, I don't think. But
probably not. Probably not. I was at a VA, and you know, the veterans wore it in, and then they took it off once they got through the front door.
Right.
But in terms of rotations, Florida, and then New Jersey, and then Texas.
What were you doing in New Jersey?
Omni Eye. And
big referral center.
Yeah. In New Jersey.
You know the Vileckis?
I do. Yes. Yeah. chance to work with them. It was just a brutal working environment, seeing like 25, 30 people you're working up a day. But the staff was great. I liked every single doctor there, probably except for one. Their
ooh,
pediatric.
Yeah, I like it.
Pediatric yeah. ophthalmologist who was just not a nice guy. You know what I mean?
I love it. Yeah, spill all the beans. Let's hear it.
I want to hear it.
You know what's interesting? Except for one pediatric ophthalmologist, and I'll be controversial. That's what I do. We had one on this podcast who was absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
The bee's knees, like so cool. Gets optometry, gets vision therapy. And that's not even like the what has to be, but like just open-minded to like working together. But I've found, you know, in Pennsylvania that, you know, the leading entity of the ophthalmological society is a pediatric ophthalmologist. Like they're the ones that for whatever reason, they just have a bent towards us. But was that what it was, or was it just the personality thing?
Personality, like he's just like a grumpy grandpa.
I'd be doing something
with a kid, and he'd just like walk in, not say anything, and take over and kind of kick me out. I'm like, okay. That's how it's gonna be. Were you slow, or you just didn't care?
Were you being too nice?
I think everyone was too slow for him.
Okay.
You know, I was probably slow with pediatric care, but I think it was just, he's like, why are there students here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then with the kids, it was just his personality. Like with the kids, he either loved them or he just absolutely hated them.
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
And I'm like,
he's wearing out of his job.
Yeah, and
maybe.
Like, yeah, just never said hello, never talked to me. I think the most I got him to talk to me was about Costco and how this just you can buy everything in bulk, and he just went off about this, and he was like, it was nice for that conversation. But other than that, it was kind of a, you know, you get to volunteer where you want to work, glaucoma, you know, at the beginning of the day, and I would just like try to skip pediatrics. You're like, I'm going to glaucoma today. You know, that's where I'm going. Sorry.
You got all your extra. So then what about Texas?
Texas, I was working at Memorial Eye Center in Sugar Land.
Uh-huh,
it used to be called Today's Vision. That's where Dr. Tom Arnold
was working. Oh my goodness, yes.
So
the
he kind of got
Arnold.
Me. The Tom Arnold. Yeah, so that
so
I wasn't
wait,
supposed
it was
to get his
practice
rotation.
You were at?
Yeah, I was at his practice working with him with another MCPHS student.
He's kind
of what got me into contact
tell
lenses.
Us why tell us like what
yeah,
about his
it.
Practice was tell
well,
us
he had a
highlights.
lot of specialty lens care there, and I got to see all these scleral lens patients, and I got to see how not scary it was compared to what's described in school, the very academic version of contact
does Dr.
lenses.
Does Dr. Frank scare you with it?
Oh, Dr. Frank is lovely. I think he actually just retired.
Oh good,
Dr. Frank.
That's wonderful.
But he didn't scare me. I did well in his class, but like just the lack of clinical, you know, working with patients,
it was
an unknown topic. So I kind of avoided it. But when I got there, I was like, oh, these things are pretty cool. I think I could do well with these. Let's go for it.
Cool.
The only downside with Dr. Tom Arnold, though, was that all his fits were perfect. I didn't see any problem patients for the most part.
Yeah.
So I got to see what a really nice fitting lens looked like a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, this seems super easy, right? Like,
look at this lens. Look how good it is.
Is he using mostly technology to fit, or what's
his? Yeah, the eaglet. He was using the eaglet. So it was a two-person job. I was there with Q-tips opening the eye, getting a good scan. So got exposure to the eaglet. And, of course, like, he's fitting lenses for all sorts of companies. So he had 40 fit sets there, and he just, let's just go with this one today. Let's go with that one.
It was like a mini residency.
Pretty much. Yeah, and then, and they had the Alabama resident from the year before, Dr. Michael Everson. He was there. He also helped a lot. But that was my exposure to specialty lenses and kind of getting interested in them.
And then you decided to apply to residency, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Tell me about, Jimmy, I don't know, you may know since it's kind of on in your neck of the woods, but University of Virginia has a residency now in ocular disease and cornea contact lens. Is this new? How new is it?
It's about five. They're on their sixth resident. I was the fifth one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
just right after me, then.
So pretty new residency, and it's kind of under the radar because everyone's looking at contact lenses as a section on that ASCO website.
Yes.
And then since this is ocular disease, in big letters, and then contact lens in little letters there. See? Not very many people see it. So I just happened to stumble upon it, and I was like, oh, let's go for that. I kind of wanted something not associated with an optometry school.
Yes.
Because I wanted to do the learning myself. I heard that in some people's experience, they were kind of precepting more than they were doing their own patient care. Definitely. So I definitely got that. I handled, you know, signing my own charts the first day and got to see a ton of patients there. I think I ended up with 1,400.
Wow.
And I counted 200 of those encounters had keratoconus.
Wow.
So I got a lot of exposure to that disease.
Definitely.
And it's now become my favorite. But very new program. 4 girls before me, and then I'm the first guy, and then there's a girl currently.
Awesome. With, I'm biased because I did my fellowship at
Fellowship.
OHSU. they just different words. And honestly, once you're in a medical program, like when you're out of medical school, you realize like that's actually the proper name for a resident is a fellow. Mm-hmm. But
did you know that? Did you just learn that? Did she just educate you?
No, my supervisor was going off about that all the time at residency. It's like, it should follow the medical model, Dr. Evan Kaufman.
Oh, okay.
Over there. So, yeah, I've heard it, but gotcha. That makes sense to me.
When you're in that flow, it's like being called a resident is like, oh, God, I'm not like one of them. Like, I know what I'm talking about, right? And you are signing your own records. You are signing your own charts. So it is different. But I think that's cool. So like, tell me what was your normal week like in this? So if it was a divide between ocular disease and cornea contact, like what was your normal clinic flow?
So show up a little bit late. I'm always late these days. At the very beginning, I would show up at 7:30, first patient said 8:00. And then like the first patient wouldn't show up and I'm just sitting there twiddling my thumbs for the next hour. So I was like, okay, if the first one doesn't want to show up half the time, I'll just show up at 8:00. And then, so I always feel bad if they show up at like 7:00, I show up at 8:10. But show up around 8:00 is the first patient, last patient's at 4:00. And most of those patients, the diseases are corneal that can be fixed with a medically necessary contact lens. A lot of that was keratoconus. A lot of people wore softs and then, you know, pellucid, ectasias, anything like that. So I spent most of my day fitting people with contact lenses, following up with people. And I used the Pentacam on probably all those patients. And then you get occasionally like the person that's just in there for a routine diabetic dilated exam.
Sure.
But most of the diseases that I was seeing was related to a contact lens. And there's a lack of fitters over there, so everybody in like a 5-hour radius has to come to the University of Virginia hospital to get fit with a contact lens. So we got people coming from out of state, like North Carolina and West Virginia and all that.
Definitely.
But yeah, that was pretty much my day. And I'd see at the beginning it was about 8 patients a day, and then toward the end it was like 15, which was kind of a drag because it was just me. I don't have any help.
Oh yeah. It's good to have to learn kind of through the battlefield, if you will, how to do everything, especially when you're doing your own scans and images.
Yeah, I just learned to keep calm when there's 20 million people in the waiting room looking at me. And I was like, this is what doctors do. They make people wait. All the good ones make people wait, right?
Jimmy can vouch for that.
That's right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I tried to rush people in the beginning and it was miserable, but then I just started taking time because especially if people are coming from hours and hours away, they're going to want their full exam. And okay. I think people would appreciate if you sat down, talked with them, make sure they got everything they needed before they went home. Even if it's a normal exam, make sure they feel like they're being taken care of versus just trying to rush people out the door and whatnot.
Absolutely. As you kind of, you know, got more patients a day and things like that, what are some things, maybe tips for docs that are trying to start fitting or, you know, trying to figure out how to work in specialty lenses in their practice? Like, what are some pearls maybe that you could say to people who think, oh, God, there's just not enough time for that? Or how do I do all of that? You know what I mean?
So I guess when you have a, like, if you're going to fit someone in scleral, just throw a lens on the eye. Don't spend too much time thinking about the perfect initial trial to fit. Because if you throw it on, you're just looking for clearance. It's either going to be perfect, too high, or too low, and then you can adjust from there. But a lot of the time, you won't know until you throw that first lens on. So don't think too hard about which trial you're going to throw on first, because you can always adjust from there. And then also, if you're really in a time crunch, toward the end, you know, I sometimes didn't even... I could estimate how much a lens was going to settle based on what I was seeing initially. So I just cut out the settling time and just went into over-refraction and all that. And it worked out fine. So that's a good way to cut down on your time. But just get started. You need a fit set, like the custom stable elite or something like that. You need an account.
Something like that.
Yeah. And there's consultants. So you can just... you know, get all the information you need and call the consultation line and they'll help you. And you just need to see more people and then you'll get faster and faster and faster.
Totally. Yeah. I love that tip. I think a lot of people do get hung up on settling time. You know, we're all taught this proper amount of settling time, which we know happens. We know lenses settle, right? But like, I think we should talk about that. Settling time is just time needed. You don't need to wait.
It's bologna.
You don't need to wait. You know it's going to settle. Why do you really care if it's 50 microns difference? 100 microns difference.
Most people can't tell 50 microns difference anyway, right? So I think if you have, if you start with more than 100 microns of vault, which most of us do, you're probably all right. You know, and the problem is that not every vault is symmetrical, right? So then you got some vaults that have, you know, 50 microns here and 300 microns over here because of, you know, a very proud cone or some abnormal graft or something like that. So that's where you run into some problems. But, you know, I think that's such a good point, you know, and I don't think it's anything we've talked about really, the settling conundrum.
I agree.
Just settle already. That's the
best title. You're right. Just settle and move on.
Settle already.
And even if you do have 300 microns versus 50 microns in some areas, if you're the cornea is fine, it's a very forgiving. The scleral lens is very forgiving. So if you have 300,
good point.
It's just a number you're looking at, and the cornea looks healthy. There's nothing going on, and that's the best you can do. You just watch them.
I often say to new fitters, let the eye fit the lens, not the lens fit the eye. You know, like give them the give that eye the opportunity to show you if it works. You know, don't overcomplicate it at ordering 15 different trials in your head or in like before a patient walks out the door. Let them go live in the lens, try it, right? And get on to the next patient, make more money. You know?
Yeah, I have to worry about, I'm trying to, at the private practice I'm at now, I have to try to build the lens part up a little more because I'm used to seeing a lot of sclerals a day and now it'll be just a few, but trying to build it up. The one thing about private practice is you can bring people back when you want to. That's amazing.
100%.
The hospital, it's like 2-3 months down the line, they can get in again. It's kind of, you almost forget about some people before they come back and you're like, oh, how you doing?
100%. Right. Yeah, especially as a new doc in a new location, and like you say, your roster is totally empty, so you can do whatever you want whenever you want. It's kind of great. And even once you're full, you can still do whatever you want whenever you want.
True. Looking forward to it. I actually start next week.
Oh, that's great.
So that should be fun.
And I'll often say, you know, one of the beauties of that, or one of the beauties of not knowing something in private practice, really anywhere, but if you don't know and you're not sure, bring them back sooner. You know, bring them back sooner than maybe you bring them back in 2 weeks, bring them back in a week, bring them back in 2 days, have them call you, have them text you, you know, all those things that you have that flexibility to do. Did you develop relationships with any of your patients while you're on residency? Anybody that sticks out in your mind in particular?
Like other optometrists or patients? Yeah. Okay.
If not, that's okay. We won't think
like your favorite patient. You spent a lot of time. You taught him a lot. Whatever.
Spent a lot of time with a lot of people.
People have such a hard time. One, like, it's hard for me to cry. Like, I try. Sometimes I'll watch sad movies, and like, you know, I'll have a couple of beers or two and just kind of bring down the shields. But and it just doesn't work. I get sad, but I'm like, there are no tears. Where
you
are
need
the
to
tears?
Put some tear via in your nose.
I know. I'll give it a shot. But patients also get really close to crying. They always say, "I feel like I'm going to cry," and I'm just like, "Do it. You'll be the first, please."
You're
and
then they'll go with the tissue box, like, "Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to be able to
grabbing
tell
a tissue while they're talking."
Cry.
I want to. They always say they're going to, and then they never do. They get kind of teary, like you just smacked them in the nose or something, but it never like comes down the cheek.
Like, oh my God, liars. I've never seen so good. It's so good. I want to cry, but I noticed some starbursts. So
I'm like, get out.
Actually, I can feel something right here. And you're like, just don't think about it. What else do you like?
I had a guy today. He was 20/200 in his right eye, 20/80 in his left eye with his glasses. That's all he had. That's all he ever had. I put the sclerals on that I fit him on before, but these were his lenses that we ordered and put him on. And he is 20/25, okay? Ooh. And he's like, okay, I just made a crazy face, everybody, because he was like blinking like lunatic for the first 5 minutes. And finally, he settled down. But I'm like, bro, you could see 20/25. Like, why aren't you doing backflips? That's what I said to him. And he's like, oh, man, I don't know if I could do this. They really feel weird. I wanted to smack him. I wanted to actually hit this and assault. I wanted to assault this guy, but I didn't. And eventually he did start to feel it. But, yeah, people get funny with their eyes, you know? Like, they do act – it brings out the best and the worst in people.
I always feel bad when they read the 20/20. They're like, you know, less than 20/400. Then they can read 20/20, and I'm like, that's 20/20. And they're like, okay. I'm like, that's it? You've been like this for so long.
Yeah.
There is something a little crazy about everyone with keratoconus, right? But then also, it sucks to have keratoconus. I go crazy too, I think.
I can imagine. I mean, yeah. Hearing them speak about their stories, it sounds not ideal, less than ideal, I would say.
Yeah. Like, they're convincing us sometimes, like, I can't see. And you're like, I know, I see how bad you're. But, like, they probably do that to their friends all the time. And their friends are like, yeah, I can't see either. But they're like a -1, you know? I feel like they're actually like, no one believes me. I can't see.
Yeah, like, literally, I can't see anything.
Right.
Yeah, I love people coming without lenses on. And they're just like, oh, it was terrible to find parking today. And I'm like, what? Like, you drove? And they're like, yeah, I mean, it was blurry, but I got it done. I'm like, oh my gosh, how far are you coming from?
Yeah, like 4 hours.
It's all these rural farmers out here.
Yeah.
But going back to the patient story, there is one that I was seeing back at least once a month or sooner. I was letting her overbook the appointment and coming in just with someone else's appointment because maybe they wouldn't show up or whatever. But she was diagnosed with keratoconus in her 60s. And they fit her into GPs, and she just was super intolerant, couldn't wear them. And I was seeing her back making adjustments like every single month, sometimes even more than that. And this is throughout my whole residency. So, you know, probably a month or two in when I got there, and I finished up with her before I left. But we really became close, and her one thing was, you know, she was used to good vision. Okay, so background. She's used to good vision, just wore progressives. Someone diagnosed her with keratoconus, had to be put in GPs. Vision's okay, but they're just not comfortable and she doesn't want to wear them. And her only wish was that she could wear progressives again. Like, who says that? It's like, I just really wish I could wear my progressives again. So we really got to know each other over this year. And then one day, you know, I just decided to dig deep into the chart lore, go back a year or two. A year back, and she was 20/20 up until last year, and then all of a sudden she was 20/40, and then they diagnosed with keratoconus, was being bounced around optometry, and cornea special. She was like 64.
Weird.
Yeah, and bounced around the corneal specialists. Finally, I said, hey, you know, no one's gotten a pentacam on you. Let's get a pentacam. Got a pentacam. There's no atasia going on. So it ended up being, I think it was a technician, refracted her poorly to 20/40, and people just accepted that, called it keratoconus. And every doctor since was just going off of that diagnosis, not really investigating it. And then you know, by the end, I was able to be like, hey, guess what? You can wear your progressives again. And that was like, we hugged and everything. And it was...
punch her in the nose and she cried.
That's, yeah. She almost cried. She told me she was going to cry.
Almost criers. Huh?
almost. So one of these days. But yeah, I really got to know her, and that's the one story that sticks out, you know, in front of everyone else, is when they did not have keratoconus.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's so easy and quick to jump to that conclusion, right? And sometimes it is like that rabbit hole is like it's like an easy hole to fall into sometimes, where you can just kind of spiral.
It's not a
blood test,
right? I mean, it's not like it could be definitively always proven. So,
well, yeah. And also, like, someone has bad enough dry eye one day, and that kind of throws you off. You can't get a good refraction, and you're like, well, you must have keratoconus, right? Like, I mean, that just, there has to be enough things. I mean, what do you think are your, not everyone has a penicam. That's a rude awakening. You leave these beautiful
things. Oh, gosh,
big
I don't have one right now. And it has been promised to me. So it is in my future, but hopefully sooner rather than later. But yeah, it's a fancy piece of equipment. I think it's like $47,000 for the base model.
It's not cheap.
Not cheap at
all. I waited 4 years and I was in a large, like, multidisciplinary practice, and I waited a long time. But you can do it.
We'll get one.
You'll get one.
Yeah, well, so this is very unofficial.
You have a topographer, though?
Yeah, I mean, we have a MedMont.
Wow, that's great.
That's awesome.
But ideally, the goal with me is I want to try to find keratoconus in teenagers before they start having symptoms. Ideally.
Tell us what you think the pro of Panacam versus MedMont is.
Yeah.
So the MedMont topography, you're only seeing anterior surface changes. And by that point, if that's happened, the disease has been taking course for a little bit at least. So ideally, with a tomographer like the Pentacam, you see posterior changes first. You can catch that. And we all know posterior changes don't necessarily cause vision changes. So you can catch that before they have symptoms and then try to do something about it from there.
You're joining a private practice, you mentioned. When would you integrate that? Like, would you have every person get scanned, or how would you envision utilizing that?
I would love to scan every single person. That'd be great. And I'll do the scan myself because I actually like hearing the machine spin.
You're not going to do the scan yourself.
Right.
I would really like to. Actually, I probably won't.
No, you won't.
If I had to, everyone was busy and I had to do it, I wouldn't mind.
Well, that's good. That's a good attitude, and keep that attitude.
Yeah.
You will gain the respect of every technician, you know, the second you grab a chart, bring a patient back, do a test, take out the garbage. That stuff makes a huge difference. It does. It really does.
And I would love a screening program. It's since the private practice is in Santa Monica. So if I could find my way, get a program into screening high school kids, that would be super fantastic. Cool. I would do that on my free time.
Cure Santa Monica of all keratoconus.
Yeah, listen, I love scleral lenses, but if I don't have to fit you in one, great.
I think it's true. Like, if you could curb it all. Okay, let's talk about your job. So you have a job lined up. Obviously, you're starting next week. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be with someone you talked about earlier. So tell me your practice you're joining and who you are joining.
So Ocean Park Optometry, joining my mother.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, so I have no issue with working for my mom because I've been doing it my whole life. So just joining the family practice, everything's very casual. I wasn't really sure when I was starting. I knew I was coming into the office today, but she's like, you can start next week. I'm like, okay. Is that how that works? Right. Is that how that works? And then, you know, with a Pentacam, she's like, yeah, we'll get one. I'm like, when?
Joining Christmas.
Oh, that'd be great. It'd be fantastic. See that under the Christmas tree.
That would be fun.
Exactly.
You'd be like doing all your family.
You'd be like, don't shake it, okay? Don't shake the box.
But it's a private practice. There's specialty lenses there. A lot of ortho-K, which I didn't work with too much in residency, but I feel like if I learned the other lenses, I could pick that one up too. Okay. You know, they got a lot. Like, myopia control's big. They have Lipoflow and IPL and all these fancy things.
Fantastic.
My bimographer and whatnot.
Awesome.
So I'm going to learn a lot of that, you know, some of the cosmetic side too.
Absolutely.
Which should be fun. And
hey, you know, I think that one of the things that I learned a lot in joining a private practice is that it almost is like rude how much more dry eye I ended up doing than scleral lenses. And then the scleral lenses like kind of like, you know, make a big loop back around at the end once you like fall down the dry eye rabbit hole a little bit, because there is nothing better in combination. Dry eye, like scleral lenses so often is associated to keratoconus, which of course it is. And honestly, keratoconus patients are like usually a lot easier cases, generally speaking, in my opinion. But scleral lenses are game changers for so much dry eye. And when you have that whole package really well rounded with an excellent person who knows how to fit them, because a dry eye patient fit poorly is the worst fit. Versus a keratoconus patient will walk around with a flat GP for their whole life, right? Like, you
and be
know,
super happy.
Yeah, they're just like, what's wrong with this?
But those dry eye patients, like graft versus host, those people that get thinner sclerals, those are my favorite, you know, patients. They're so grateful because all they want to do is keep their eyes open for more than 1 second at a time, be able to drive without having to pull over and throw some drops in.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'll be able to fit those, hopefully.
What are ways, as you're, you know, you're new, your schedule's going to be, you know, slightly lighter than what you're used to, the 15, 16 a day. What are ways that you're planning to build up your contact lens portion of your practice?
I feel like I have to go out in the community and, like, market myself. And I have no idea, like, this is going to be new to me. I'm used to everyone just showing up, not having to ask for anything. Everyone just shows up because they have to. So now I have to figure out how to get my name out there. I feel like we'll be getting a lot of people that can't wait for maybe institutions like UCLA or USC to fit them in the schedule. If they want to get seen sooner, they can come see me. But I have to try to get my name out there somehow.
Absolutely.
And just talking to patients about, hopefully I can catch keratoconus walking through the office. And then I can get those lenses of sclerals and build it up from there. But yeah, I'll just have to figure out how to market the practice for a specialty lens. I think I'll try to build a separate website apart from the normal practice website. So if it's someone that needs a lens like a scleral, they can just go to that website and not have to worry about all the other junk that they don't worry about on there. They can just see contact lenses. But yeah, mainly just getting my names out there and managing whoever's already currently part of the practice.
Somebody in the practice do scleral lenses already?
Yeah, my mom fits sclerals herself for keratoconus patients and some dry eye patients.
Okay.
But the patient load is not too much. I think it's maybe 15 a month or something like that.
Not bad at all.
15 a month scheduling. There is a patient I heard waiting for me. He has a bleb superiorly that no one's going to touch until I get there. So that's a lot of, I'm honored, but there's also a lot of pressure. I'm like, oh gosh, I better live up to this as expectation. So
well,
I have one patient lined up.
What's your plan?
Clinic.
What are you going to do?
Let's talk about what to do.
Well, I want to get iPrint certified. I would love to just iPrint this guy if I can, just to, because I know you have to bring patients to practice with. That'd be a cool one. But if not, I'll just use, you know, a lens and microvault it or something. We also have an S-Map 3D that could work as well. But I think I could do it without a scleral profilometer. I think I could do it. But I'll fit this guy because he's waiting for me. But if I can get iPrint certified, he'll probably just be one of the sample patients.
Yeah.
And then we'll manage from there. Or I could use the custom stable. I got the Elite fit set.
There you go.
Now
for being
he's
a resident.
Ready.
Yeah. Now I'm ready.
Yeah.
I love that company. We just did the residency summit. That was like the best thing.
Tell us a little bit more about tell everyone about the residency summit.
Roya and I
both had the pleasure of taking part. Roya was an attendee. I was not, because I did not do a residency or fellowship, la-chi-da. But I had the opportunity to go. I've never been invited back, but Roya, Josh, Janice, everyone, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But anyway,
go ahead. Yeah, so it's just an annual residency summit that Valley Contacts hosts for the contact lens residents for that, I guess, cohort.
Finishing year.
So it's after our residencies are done. So we're just relaxed. It's very laid back. It's not academic at all. It's just worried about us bonding one last time before we go off and do our own thing. There's some education, but it's very informal. Like we were just sitting on a couch at a beach house looking at the TV with this lecture going on.
Super cool.
But I loved it. I honestly wasn't familiar with the staff at Valley Contacts before going. So I'm greeted by, you know, Josh and Jenny and Janice and everything. You know, they stock the beer with wine and, or stock the fridge with wine and beer. I haven't seen so much beer since college.
They're looking out for you.
Yeah, they rented two beach houses for us on the Oregon coast.
Awesome.
And, you know, out of maybe the 25, 30 contact lens residents for the year, maybe 15 or so showed up to this one because they can make it. And it was just a fantastic time. It was just worried about bonding and they kind of talked about lenses a little bit and that was it.
Awesome.
And it was honestly the best event I went to all year.
Oh,
and
awesome.
And no other heads of companies like VP and president have actually been there with us, talking with us. So that was really, really cool. It made me like the company a lot.
Totally. Valley's got a lot of awesome things to provide, and they do spend a lot of resources and time with new grads or new residents. And even with their fourth year extern kits, they really put their focus into like putting their products in front of the people who are like most excited to learn. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. Love the company.
Yeah, we love them too. They are our primary sponsor, but we do love them even before that. Tell me, what is a tip that you would give your second year self? You know, now you're in private practice, you did a residency, you have all these awesome things lined up, but what's a tip you would give yourself while you're trudging through pre-COVID? Pre-C-word.
What I'm thinking about is the first thing that pops up when I think about second year me is stop making flashcards to study. Stop it, you dingus. Like, you don't have enough time. That's the first thing. You don't have time. You always think it's going to work out, but then you run out of time. But honestly, don't be scared of contact lenses. I was super avoiding them all the time. I didn't really make use of the little wet labs that they would have for various companies because I thought, oh, you know, I'll just do softs and that's it. Kind of scaring away because all the specialty lens world looks super exclusive and hard to deal with, so I just won't touch that. But I would tell myself, be more open to that because you can learn a lot. And knowing how much I love them now, I think I would have, you know, enjoyed school more if I'd gotten into it.
Love that.
Second Love that. Year. What else? Also, you know, study hard. Don't study too hard. I would tell myself, hey, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl this year. There's going to be a quiz on the same day as the victory parade. Go to the victory parade because Tom Brady's going to leave and they're not going to have another one while you're there. So screw the BB quiz. Go to the victory parade, get drunk with your friends.
There
you'll
go.
Do fine.
Life goes on. Have balance.
Yeah, so I guess that's what I would tell my second year self.
I love that. We are in the midst of a proper study prep. It's a series we've been doing called Try Not to Stress. You know, you just said that and we're trying not to stress, so it's perfect. We're doing this in partnership with OptoPrep. And they've given us some study questions for boards that we are going through. You know, you studied for boards twice, so I think you're ready for this.
Oh, gosh.
But I have a question for you. I'm going to go through it, and you and Jimmy get to answer, okay? In addition to flattening the base curve, which of the following alterations will help loosen a tightly fitting GP contact lens? Okay. Lens is fitting tight. Aside from flattening the base curve, what else will loosen the lens? Okay. I'm going to give you options.
Okay.
Number one.
Multiple choice. Perfect.
Multiple choice. Yeah.
Just like
obviously,
boards.
Obviously, boards. Yeah. Number one, decrease the center thickness. Two, increase the overall diameter. Three, steepen the peripheral curve system. Four, reduce the width of the peripheral curve system. Or five, reduce the size of the optic zone.
If you wanted to loosen it.
The lens is too tight, which I assume means too tight on the edge. Too tight, tight-fitting GP. What's going to loosen it?
What were those last two options again?
Last two are reducing the width of the peripheral curve zone or reducing the size of the optic zone. Jimmy, what do you think?
I am going to switch to a scleral lens and call my lovely rep.
Right, exactly. I'm going to call the consultant on this one.
Let them figure it out. That is the answer
you
from
can't put
the
that
trenches
on the
in private practice. No, I would reduce the size of the optic zone. And the reason why I would do that is because it would lift the lens up off of the cornea. That's how I think of everything in three dimensions in my head. So I kind of like see what I'm doing and see what that would do to the lens and the eye. So that's my answer.
I like that. Okay.
It's a good one. What do you think? I feel like I have to choose something different.
You don't have to, but if you want to, you can.
Okay.
If you want to be
I want to choose something different.
you choose what you want.
I guess, was one of the answers to reduce the peripheral curve system?
It says reduce the width. Oh, sorry. Steepen the peripheral curve system or reduce the width of the peripheral curve system.
So you probably don't want to steepen the peripheral curve system. I guess I'll go with reduce the width of the peripheral curve system.
I think this is a trick question.
This is tough.
The answer is the proper answer according to Optic Prep is reduce the size of the optic zone.
But you'd very let me just say
it says in order to modify a lens that's fitting too tight, simply reverse all of the above. Steepen the base curve. Increase the optic zone. There's a multitude of alterations you can make when a GP is fitting too tight, many of which are done at an in-office unit if it's available. If a gas piece or a gas perm is too tight, flatten the base curve is the most common alteration. One can also decrease the optic zone, decrease the diameter, widen the peripheral curve system, or flatten the peripheral curve system.
Okay,
I don't get the widen it. It says both. But it's saying to reduce the width of the peripheral. I guess it means like the intermediate curve. I don't get that one as much.
It's cray. But I was right, and that's the bottom line.
It has,
it has nothing to do with the fact that I could see the answer.
Yeah, I was like, I can't make him. He can't be wrong on his own show. I guess
this is true.
Someone gets
thank you.
To give
thank
yeah,
you.
I would have.
I'm wrong in my own house all the time, so
I would have gone with that one. Just there were no copycats. Room for copycats on this.
That.
So
I like that result. I like that.
We're exploring. Man,
well,
Opto
thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It was super fun. How are people going to learn more from you in the future? Is there any events you're going to? Are you applying for fellowship? What's next?
So no fellowship for now, but next month at Vision Expo West, I will be on a panel with the Contact Lens Institute visionaries, some of them. Doing a little talk, and I'm not sure what kind of talk yet. Going over some data on how present data to practitioners to use in their practices. based on, you know, whatever consumer research that they've done.
Excellent. Which has yet
to be shown to me, but that's what I'll talk about. And then if you always have a question, I'm on Instagram. I best teach people informally versus making actual informative posts. So
nice.
I like
on Instagram. Thank you.
What was the thing that Joey Allen does?
Eyes and shine.
You need an eyes and shine.
Eyes and shine.
Yeah.
Eyes and shine.
That's good.
I'll come up with something. We'll see. I have a lot of free time.
There you go. Well, thanks again for everything. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. Before we go, reach out to us for feedback, questions, stories, things you want us to talk about, either through email or on our Instagram or Facebook. We never depart without saying thanks to Valley Contacts for their support, both the amazing lenses they make and the great people they are to work with. And be sure and tune in and listen to our next episode. But until then, try not to blink.